greeting there, everyone. This is your host, Kim. I apologize this is a day late, but that was because I was vacationing on Monday. So I apologize, but I was being lazy. And I'll be lazy this weekend. However, of course, I'll watch How to Get Away with Murder 3 times, as usual, for next week. Because we have one episode next week before we hit the 2-hour finale. So I can't wait for it, and at the same time I want to wait for it because I don't want the show to be over, but I want to see what happens and what they decide the cliffhanger will be, because with as many storylines as they busted wide open early, I want to see what they have planned. So far they've been really good at finding awesome twists, and they had a lot of them in this episode. But before we get to any of the discussion, let's go ahead with the episode recap. Oh, and by the way, this is the podcast, How to Get Away with Law. Just in case you needed to know, and I did mention at the beginning. I apologize. How terrible of me. Anyway, this recap is from ABC.com, and the episode is titled, She's a Murderer. As members of the Keating Five digest the shocking news reports that are airing, the police show up at Annalise's place to break the news that Sam's remains have been found. A distraught Hannah demands that they arrest her sister-in-law for the murder of her brother. She tells the detective that Annalise has had a violent past. That's not enough for a search warrant. However, Hannah's testimony that Annalise threatened Sam's life is. Annalise isn't talking to the police. She advises Nate to follow her lead as she makes her way to class. The lesson of the moment is all about the Fifth Amendment. And Annalise declares that whatever you say to the police can be misconstrued to support the prosecution on any given case. So when in doubt, shut your mouth. Annalise advises mob man Leo Lombardo to not drop her as an attorney regarding an upcoming drug smuggling case involving his nephew Paul. All indications are that the feds were tipped off about an incoming shipment of heroin. That means there's a rat in the Lombardo crime family. Annalise opts to not use the criminal informant angle after a veiled threat is made against her own well-being by the prosecution. The team tracks down the worker who allegedly found a weight discrepancy in a shipment. The guy testifies that he was instructed to single out the container for inspection. He was promised a green card by the prosecutor. This sends Annalise off on a rant about the violation of Fourth Amendment rights, entrapment, and a few other things. There are mob-friendly cheers in the courtroom after her impressive diatribe. Connor questions Annalise about her promise to protect them. He wants to trust her, but it's hard. Annalise says the reason that she gave him the trophy the first day is because he's like her. They are both warriors. It's okay if he doesn't trust her, but sticking with her is his best chance of staying out of prison. In other news, Laurel and Frank continue to navigate their complicated relationship. Wes learns that the guy who used to live in his apartment, Rudy Walters, was arrested after Rebecca called the cops on him. It's because he was weird and he was banging on the walls. Rebecca believes Wes is freaking out. She offers to take full blame for Sam's death. Wes will never let her do that. Bonnie is ordered to quash the search warrant order. That doesn't happen. Hannah and Annalise exchange verbal unpleasantry as the police invade the house. A thorough search is conducted. Nothing is found. This satisfies the police, but not Bonnie, who wonders about the carpet fibers found on Sam's body. She also wonders why the justice scales on the trophy, which were found by the police, went missing around the time Sam disappeared. She figures everything out and warns Annalise to not let her students bring her down. After Annalise is advised by Bonnie to talk to the police, she makes a call asking to see someone right away. She then submits to an interview after evidence is found in the woods. It's a ring. Michaela is freaking out. Her panic is unwarranted, as it wasn't her ring. It was a ring Annalise had given Sam. Thanks to some forensic foreplay by Frank, a fingerprint was found on it. The police show up at the apartment of their new prime suspect. A confused Nate is placed under arrest for the murder of Sam Keating. Later, Annalise makes another call, saying she needs the person on the other end of the line. This time she uses a name. Annalise makes this call to her mother. Alright, and that was the recap. And now we will get into some of the review here. Once again, I didn't find any law terms that I was that excited about. I don't think a lot of them were mentioned, but we're going to forego that this episode. I'm not sure if they're going to be any time soon. since we're coming up on the finale, but there could be in the last episode, who knows. But anyway, let's get right into the review. Now, in the beginning of the episode, I loved when Laurel walked into Wes's apartment and Connor tells her to knock next time. Well, don't leave the door unlocked, dummies. I mean, you would think, hey, I mean, the cops aren't gonna try the doorknob and be mad at you if it's locked. I mean, they're expecting that. They're gonna knock on the door if they need to, so really, lock the door. They're obviously learning bad manners from Frank, who can't seem to lock a door. And you know what? I hate Hannah. She's irrational, but interesting enough, she should be suspicious of Annalise, but seems like there was more than just Annalise's calm grieving that would lead her to the kind of arrest rage. There has to be something more to it. I mean, they're setting us up to think, you know, of course, Hannah didn't like Annalise that much, and that this has been something that's been known. It's not like it's something new. The murder isn't the only thing that brought it up. It just brought it to a head. And I want to see what is up with Hannah, because I know she's upset, and maybe it's because I'm defensive of Annalise, but I just feel like she is just being a little too crazy, and she was quick to try to name Annalise as the murderer. Does Hannah know who the murderer is and is just trying to pin it on Annalise? Well, as I say that out loud, I'm not sure I could even be right about that. I mean, unless she's a good actor. Well, Marcia Gay Harden is a good actor. I mean, if Hannah's a good actor, then she could be, but she's just, I guess when your sibling is killed, you're not very rational, so I guess I'll leave it at that. Now, Annalise brings the verbal Keating killer for SmackDown in class indirectly about them keeping their mouth shut when the cops come a-calling, which makes sense, and it's funny that a lot of times she has to deliver her messages in class, maybe because they can't protest at that time, or is it because they keep gathering in, like, a huge group at Wes's apartment or with Asher around, and she has to somehow give this message to them. I don't know, but I thought it was pretty funny that she came right into class and talked about the Fifth Amendment. And that other student that was all saying if it was really hot in that classroom was quite amusing. And anyway, we'll move on from that point. Now, why is Bonnie still out of the loop? Is it just because Annalise mistrusts her or that Sam kissed her? I mean, of course, when she fired that night, I mean, it could have been the cherry on top was the Sam kissing her, but I don't understand why they had Bonnie out of the loop so long. What is wrong with Bonnie? What do they think, she's going to snitch? She works for Annalise. They don't run around snitching, so I have no idea why they're dissing Annalise. Dissing Bonnie. Maybe it's because they're thinking maybe she ran and said that Sam kissed her so she can get out Annalise's good side, but Annalise thinks that she still wanted to get all up on Sam when he was still alive. I don't know. It's key that Annalise can say she is innocent of killing her husband, because she can actually say that with honest conviction, which she said to the mob boss and his son Paul. She said she's innocent. And then, of course, Paul's like, oh, just like you tell me to say. But, yeah, she can actually claim she's innocent of his murder, so that's a good thing. Now, on to another scene with Hannah. Blech. Did that female cop let Hannah come into the room where they were studying the pictures of Sam's partially charred body parts? Did they let her in on purpose? I mean, they didn't lock the door, and the protest wasn't all that forceful when the cop told her to leave. Maybe she just wanted Hannah to give her a reason to search the house, since she is convinced Annalise is guilty as well. Maybe that's it. I mean, who to find some better ammunition to search the house than, you know, Hannah, who's the sister and who's been vehemently telling the cops to arrest Annalise? Now let's get into that. The case of the week. I find this case pretty darn amusing. I mean, especially when Bonnie's breaking it down for the students, and I think it was Laurel who was saying that, you know, he was a mob boss, or he was in the mob, and Frank plays it off by calling the client a businessman, because technically he is. But we didn't get a ton of scenes for this case, but I mean, it was actually pretty darn amusing, and we'll get into that. Okay, here we go with Wes's storyline. That he's just too into this Rudy thing, and he doesn't have his head in the case this week. Just, this Rudy thing better be something big or we're wasting our time. Maybe it's a way of keeping Rebecca relevant, I don't know, because right now, she got off, but that doesn't mean she can go running free. They might still find something, or she'll be implicated again. So I'm wondering if this is just giving Wes and Rebecca something to do together so that we don't forget about Rebecca. I know they alluded to the scratches well before Rebecca was actually out. It was like when Wes first moved in, but I hope this pays off and pays off big if they're going to use it, or if they're just trying to keep this Wes-Rebecca relationship relevant. And really, you can keep Rebecca as relevant as you want, because she is hot. Go Katie Finley. Now, back to the mom boss who says the line that I think is the best line of this entire episode, and it's chocolate and Italian wine always pair well together. And that was, of course, said to Annalise, because she's a single woman now. And, hey, might as well, you know. I think it seems to me a lot of Italian guys like them some strong black women, and Viola Davis is a pretty strong and hot black woman, so I don't blame them. Now, poor Bonnie got embarrassed in the courtroom when she was trying to appeal the house, the search of Annalise's house, and gosh, I mean, it once again reminds me, I mean, is Bonnie a lawyer? Like, do we know what Frank and Bonnie's roles are by now? Because I certainly don't. And if you guys know, hey, let me know at howtogetawaywithlaw@gmail.com, or send a tweet at getawaywithlaw, or like the Facebook page, just search out How to Get Away with Law, and then like the page and give me a comment. Do you know what they do? Do we actually know? Does anybody have any guesses? Just let me know. Join on in. But if Bonnie is a lawyer, that she seems to be rusty, because Hannah just kind of hands her ass to her. And, you know, I feel bad for Bonnie. And then when people in the court started laughing, I thought that was just wrong. Poor Bonnie. You know, this is the second best line in the episode, and only because it was directed at Hannah, whom I hate, and it was, "Incest is best, put your brother to the test," and that was from Annalise. And notice that Hannah didn't say anything. Of course, she could have been in shock that, you know, she would insinuate a certain thing, and the look on her face is kind of, you know, shocked, like the deer in the headlights look. But what if that is the case? Because that'd be real gross. Ew, maybe I don't even want to talk about that in depth. Now, when the house search happens, they finally find the scales of justice, and then it's rendered a non-factor. Bonnie just picks it up, puts it back on the statue. Simple as that. And here we thought it was going to be something huge. Annalise should sell her miracle hardwood floor cleaner. Or maybe it's just bleach, but she did a pretty darn good job, because they couldn't find anything on that floor. So maybe we should just bleach the crap out of things. If you ever have blood in your hardwood floor, just use some Miracle Annalise bleach. But try your best not to have blood in your hardwood floors or anywhere. You know, don't murder people. It's not a good idea. However, now we move on, and we find out the scale is already exactly a useless point or a useless thing in the plot, because Bonnie starts to catch on, and maybe the Scales of Justice were just something that would help Bonnie discover what's going on. That's the only explanation I can have for them pointing that out. And you know, I'm getting tired of Connor freaking out. I'm glad Annalise asked him to come into her office, and she just kind of related to him and said, you know, they were a lot alike, but I was just getting really tired of Connor freaking out. It's just, I feel like he is the prime suspect for if somebody was about to round the corner, he'd be whispering loud as hell, and somebody'd be like, oh, what is this guy talking about? They murdered someone? Because he's just always freaking the hell out, and they're always having these conversations, and Hannah just always sneaks up. She's got, like, Bonnie senses now. Like, Bonnie just can wander in somewhere and just lurk in the background and get more information than, more information in the time that it takes for you to realize she's there. But yeah, calm down, Connor. Seriously. I feel like he's, like, the loose cannon. I thought it was Michaela. Now, I laughed out loud when Hotua sold Prosecutor Hobbs out quick when Annalise was saying, oh, you know, was it somebody in this courtroom that made you check the container? And pretty soon he was just saying yes, and I found that pretty darn funny. And I also thought it was funny that even after the case, he was trying to threaten her about her, you know, being a suspect in murder, and she was... And Annalise said, I'd be more worried, basically, if the mob was mad at me. Let's see how long that guy stays alive after this. And just so nobody forgets, Annalise was able to find something, a little loophole of some sort, in order to free her client, who was actually transporting heroin. Can we not look past that there? We know she's been helping criminals, but just in case anybody forgot, this guy actually was guilty of what he was being accused of. But hey, Annalise has got that, she's got that pull, she knows what she's doing. Laurel is finally losing it. I guess it's because she's just running out of things to do. And I know there was a scene between her and Franklin, blah, blah, blah. Not into the Frank and Laurel thing. If you are, you can call in and discuss that all you would like so that I don't have to. And seeing as Bonnie has finally put it all together after the Scales of Justice and reading the reports, I thought she was going to sell Annalise out, but she basically tells her that she shouldn't let the kids bring her down for this and that she can't avoid talking to the cops. And man, I know the show is good at twists, but they would have made me believe it was Michaela's ring they found in the woods, because, I mean, she was hyperventilating, and I'm thinking, no, they're going to find a way for not to be her, but I was like, wait a minute, who else's ring would be out in the woods? It was hers that was missing, so how are they going to do this? Are they just going to, it's going to be her ring, and somehow they find a way to get it thrown out in court, or what they're going to do? But that would bring Michaela into the spotlight, and, well, then all of a sudden, when they're questioning, the cops are questioning Annalise and give her a picture, and they're showing us how this whole thing got set up, all of a sudden, we get to a point, and I was screaming, no, 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 when Frank entered the apartment to get a fingerprint, because I just knew it before they even revealed it, that she had framed Nate. And I was pretty upset about that. I was kind of like, I'm sort of mad at Annalise because, I mean, wow, to sell him out. But she did do what Michaela says, and she's taking care of them and looking out for them. But Nate, oh, I feel bad. That's horrible. And I know Annalise is good at getting people off, no matter what, but how's she going to deal with this, and does she think that he's not going to snitch? Do you think I think he's already put two and two together that it has to do something with Annalise. I just feel like, I don't know how he's going to react. I'm really interested to see what happens next episode, and how he reacts, what he says when the cops talk to him, if Annalise talks to him. I just know that Nate didn't look super upset when the cops put the handcuffs on him. He just kind of turned around and looked on his face, kind of like resigned to it. I don't think he knew it per se that it was going to happen, like he had been alerted about it, but he didn't seem super surprised. I don't know. I don't know what to think about that. Maybe he was just in shock that he possibly knew Annalise did it, because who else would do it to him? How are they tracing him? I don't know. I guess we'll find out next week. And, we've been watching Annalise devolve for a few episodes now, and at the end, when she just curls up in bed and says, calls her mom and says, "Mom, I need you," it's just... I don't know how she's handling all this pressure. I mean, she's cracking in the background where nobody can see it, but, you know, when is that gonna break loose? When is her mind gonna... When is she... She's gonna snap. And really, what's going to go on? I want to know, because how are they going to wrap this up? Are the students going to get sold out and then they have new students next season? I just really want to know what's going on and how this ends. And that's all for this episode. But you know what would be awesome? Is doing this episode and having feedback. If you want to send some feedback, you can either type an email up or send an audio file of any sort to howtogetawaywithlaw@gmail.com. You can tweet at getawaywithlaw. You can also find the Facebook page by searching out How to Get Away with Law, like the page, and comment there. Let's get into the discussion. We're getting really close to the finale, so give me your theories on what you think is going to happen next and how this is all going to end, and just anything you want to talk about, guys. And until next time, this is your host, Kim.